Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, earned a BA in General Business Administration from Michigan State University and an MBA from the University of Detroit Mercy. For the last 25 years, he's been a world-class development officer for a number of very prominent non-for-profits and universities. And since 2020, he's been the executive director of Say Detroit, a charity founded by best-selling author, our own Mitch Elwam. Say Detroit provides pathways to success for Detroiters in need. His name, Rick Kelly. And I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Grasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a longtime friend, somebody I really admire, Rick Kelly, since 2020.
I'm glad that wasn't me. I shut mine off already.
And Marco DeCaput again calling, Jack, listen to me, Jack, listen to me.
Is it Marco? My buddy Marco is saying, don't do it. I'm trying to talk you out of it one last time. Don't interview this guy.
Ready? I'm Jack Grasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to a longtime friend, someone I've really admired and continue to admire, Rick Kelly. Since 2020, he's been the executive director of Say Detroit. Rick, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's an honor for me to be here and be amongst your esteemed guests that you've had on before.
Wow. All right. Let's go back to your childhood. Tell us about your mom and dad.
Oh, gosh. Well, my mom and dad grew up around here. My dad is a native Detroiter, grew up at Joy Road in Grand River, St. Teresa's Parish. Everything was known by the parishes back then. And my mom is a native of Pontiac, Michigan. And so my grandfather was a GM worker for many years, and my dad was in the public relations field. And I have to credit both of them with where I am today. They both were in the people business, and that's where I ended up as well.
What's the biggest thing mom taught you, and what's the biggest thing dad taught you?
Oh, gosh. I think for my mom, it was to be friendly with everyone. I observed my mom as a kid, and no matter where we were or who we were with, she was friendly with everyone around her. And she would strike up a conversation, and positive things always came out of that. And I really took that to heart as I moved on in my life about how to interact with people. And so I owe that to my mom for sure. My dad was an incredibly hard worker, built a company with Tony Franco, Franco Public Relations here in Detroit, still around, great organization. And Tony was a legend in Detroit. And my dad was always a behind-the-scenes guy, actually, in public relations. And I took a lot of notes from that. And what we do today is not about me at all. It's about the people that we help and serve. And so those are probably the two biggest things that I learned from them.
The acorn doesn't fall far from the tree.
We say that phrase a lot in my house, yes.
All right. From 97 to 2001, you were in the Ford business sector.
Yes.
Ford Motor Credit Company, Sun Microsystems. Talk about that short chapter in your life.
Absolutely. Well, right out of college, I went to work for Ford Credit. They had kind of drilled into our heads, you need a master's degree these days. You know, undergrad is not enough. And Ford was a wonderful company. My father-in-law worked there for 50 years. And there was opportunities there to continue your education. And that was very important to me. I learned a lot in that first job. It was a customer service position. And I took a lot of pride on taking an angry customer on the phone and by the end having them thank me for helping them in their current situation. And that I actually learned a lot from that and took a lot of pride out of that as well. And kind of parlayed that into more of a sales type position. So I ended up in Sun Microsystems out in California during the dot-com boom and bust.
Did you get any options back then?
Oh my gosh. They threw options around. I think I was a millionaire for a minute on a piece of paper, but that was only for a minute. But no, it was a wonderful experience. But that was where I really think I learned the most about relationships. I was in a type of sales that I would call hit and run. How much can we sell you? And we move on to the next person. And it was missing something for me. It was not fulfilling me. And I was looking to build those long-term relationships. And so everything has been a great learning experience for me to kind of get me where I am now. So,
okay, 2002, you go from big business to the non-for-profit world.
Yes.
Another world.
Absolutely.
How do they differ?
You know, they're a lot more similar than you'd think. Me transitioning from a sales position in software was not all that different from moving over to the nonprofit world. In sales, we're looking for prospects, we're cultivating those relationships, we're presenting a proposal, and we're trying to close the deal, and then we try to maintain that relationship. In not-for-profit fundraising, very similar. We're looking for prospects, people who are interested in us. Just the only difference is, instead of selling them the widget or the product, is you're selling them a dream or a cause. And often that can be a lot more powerful than the product itself. So very, very similar, and I tell people that all the time.
All right, you got an undergrad from Michigan State.
Yes.
Then you got an MBA from the University of Detroit Mercy. And then in 2002, you went to work for University of Detroit Mercy, Director of Development. Talk about that chapter.
Absolutely. Well, my time at UDM was really, really a great time. Being part of a Jesuit college and the mission of the Jesuit schools, which I like to sum up as, you've been given a privilege. You have an education. How can you help the community and those around you with that education? And so I learned that lesson very well at UDM and was lucky enough to become part of their staff. They've been around a long time. My uncle graduated there in 1951. My father graduated there in 1955. And so I'd grown up a U of D kid back in those days. And so it was really an honor for me to go there and be a part of that. And there, they have a great alumni network, and especially in this community. Back in those days, anyone who went to Catholic high school went to U of D, and they are full of leaders of our community, Supreme Court justices, mayors of the city, etc. Still produce wonderful talent, but back then was really on another level. And so I was lucky enough to get to meet a lot of the people that laid that foundation for U of D back in the day, and really helped me along with my career.
We're talking to Rick Kelly. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the next chapter in his life, which started in December of 2006, right at the economic tsunami. And I'm Jack Pursuit, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Pursuit, and we're with Rick Kelly, who went to work for the Detroit Symphony Orchestra in December of 2006, which was the start of the economic tsunami. And he was the director of major gifts. Now, the major gifts, the definition of a major gift, I think, went down a little bit for a while. What was it like raising money for the DSO during those tough times?
Well, I cannot lie. It was not easy. It was a challenge. I think what I learned the most out of that, I mean, you know, we came into that. Art and culture is instrumental to a city. I love sports more than anyone, Jack. Lions fan, here we have the draft this weekend. How exciting for our city. But without art and culture, you don't really have a city. And when you go visit countries, and if you're lucky enough to get to Europe and visit cities, the first thing you do is go to the art museum, and you go to the symphony, and you go to see their cultural icons. And so that's so important to a city. And so I was excited to become a part of the DSO. I actually started right around the same time as the current president of the DSO, Eric Roenmark. Eric's a great guy, and we started around the same time. And Eric has been there ever since and worked his way up to president. So he's a great guy. But the symphony was an amazing place. What I learned there especially is we have a caring community. Even during downtimes, there were leaders in our community that stepped up to make sure that our cultural icons would remain. We saw that a few years later when the city almost filed for bankruptcy and a lot of the large foundations stepped in and saved our artwork and saved our museums. But I started to see the groundwork for that many years earlier. And so it was a joy to be there. I was spoiled with the entertainment that we brought to town. I was not super classically trained when I got there, and so I had a lot to learn in that process and was able to meet some of the titans of the industry. The DSO, what I also learned, is a world-class organization. I mean, they talk a lot about top 10 symphonies, and we were definitely one of them. And we might be lucky enough right here in Detroit, the shell of Orchestra Hall is one of the greatest acoustical venues in the world. And I heard enough famous musicians say that to me that I take them for their word. But so we really have a jewel here in this community, and it was a delight to work there for when I did.
Then from 09 to 13, back to UAD Mercy, School of Dentistry.
They couldn't get rid of me.
You got beautiful teeth, by the way.
Thank you. Well, you can't beat a UDM dentist, let me tell you that. But yes, went back to the dental school. My heart was still with UDM. Now I was an alum, had an opportunity to go back and help them. The dental school had moved recently to a new facility in the city here. The dental school is tremendous because of what they do for the community. They have a health clinic there with hundreds of operatories. They see tons of patients every day and really make a huge impact. And so following in that Jesuit mission, I was able to kind of piggyback on that. And we did some wonderful things at the dental school, and I'm very proud of my time there. Yeah.
February 2013 through 2019, Oakland University says, Rick, we want to start a school of medicine, a brand new school of medicine.
Amazing. Yeah.
From the ground floor, we need you to be director of development.
That was another great chapter in my life. As I'm reflecting all these, I realize how lucky I am. But what a wonderful opportunity to start a medical school from scratch. As we know and we hear in the media all the time, we don't have enough doctors. We definitely don't have enough primary care doctors. And Oakland University...
Just like the teams don't have enough quarterbacks or offensive linemen,
right? You can never have enough, right? Right. And so, yeah, we had an opportunity with Beaumont Health System at the time, now Corwell, to open this medical school for Oakland University, which I grew up right down the road from and was a small, you know, commuter school back then, had blossomed into a amazing institution with 20,000 students and a beautiful new nursing school. And so this opportunity to open a medical school, I feel like I've always been a builder, Jack. Even when I went to UDM Dental, they didn't have a program, so it needed to be built. And so even in my current position, you know, we needed to build some structure around what we were doing. And so being a part of that medical school, and I want to say, you know, they started that school back to, we referenced the tough days of 07, 08, 09. They were able to recruit deans from around the country to want to be a part of that. And they came to Detroit in a time when nobody was coming to Detroit. And people took a flyer and came here, and they built something very special. And that medical school is doing wonderful. And I'm very proud that to be on part of the ground floor of that.
Speaking of special, Rick Kelly, what do all great fundraisers have in common?
Whew, well... We're all pretty hard workers, I would say, for starters. But I think you learn in fundraising, it's about building relationships. I'm not trying to push something on anyone. I'm not trying to make you like something that you didn't want to like before. For me, it's about building relationships, and that takes time. Not just a few months, that takes years in some cases. And so I think every great fundraiser possesses that ability to meet new people and build relationships on that. And so I've been lucky. I always say to people, I don't mean to sound cheesy, but being in philanthropy, being in development fundraising, you get to meet amazing people. You get to meet people that don't care about their name is on a wall. They don't care about that stuff. They care about the cause, and they care about doing something to help the cause. And I'm very lucky to be in a position where I have been able to interact with so many of those people. And the testament to that is even when I've moved to new positions, we maintain those relationships with the people that you've met. And that's something that I'm really excited about and been able to do.
Speaking of being around special people, in 2020, you get a call from a guy named Mitch Albom.
Yes.
And he said, Rick, I need an executive director for, say, Detroit.
Yes.
What is Say Detroit?
That's funny. That's exactly what I asked Mitch Albom when I sat with him. But no, Say Detroit is a family of charities, and we focus on education, healthcare, and housing in our community. And we have quite a few arms of our tentacles of our arms, I like to call them, like an octopus. But our main pillars are education, healthcare, and housing in our community, and really in the Detroit community.
How did it come to be?
Well, this goes back. It's a perfect time to be talking about this with the draft in town. Back in 2006, when Ford Field was new and we hosted the Super Bowl here, Jack, and I remember vividly, just like last night, we had hundreds of thousands of people in Detroit. I remember going down to Detroit, and this was as Detroit was just starting to experience its renaissance. We didn't have the wonderful restaurant scenes, and as I look out the window here, all the new construction going on that we have today, so things are just going phenomenal.
It was snowing and sleeting, remember that?
It was snowing and sleeting, yes. I remember walking down by the new CompuWare building. They had tents set up, and there was sleet and snow everywhere. And well, the city, in an effort to make itself look better, decided that they were going to round up our homeless community and put them in a shelter for the weekend. And Mitch heard about this and said, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. And he went and he spent a night at the homeless shelter at Detroit Rescue Mission, our good friend Chad Audi, and who's a wonderful partner of ours. And Mitch went down there and he actually checked into the homeless shelter. He waited in line and he checked in, and he tells the story, and I believe him, that the guy in front of him turned around and said, aren't you Mitch Albom? And he said, yes, I am. And the guy said, what happened to you? And, you know, we giggle about that, but that was incredibly impactful for Mitch because it made him realize in that moment, everyone is just a bad situation away from finding themselves in a situation they didn't expect to be in. And so Mitch wrote a column about that weekend. He talked to Chad, and how much money would we need to keep everyone housed, at least until the warmer months? It's a beautiful day today, but, you know, like we said, it was sleety and snowy. And so that was going to take until about April, May, and it was going to cost $50,000, $60,000 to keep everyone housed. Mitch wrote a column that weekend, and his column brought in over $300,000 for that community. And that was really the birth of Say Detroit. And what Say stands for is super all year, not just one weekend, but we're going to be super all year.
We're talking to Rick Kelly. When we come back, we're going to ask him about this guy named Mitch Albom. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Russell with Rick Kelly, who's the executive director of Say Detroit, and as such, is Mitch Albom's boss. All right. He was the number one sports columnist in the nation 13 times. 15 years he was ESPN, the sports reporters, author of 15 books, 4 plays, Tuesdays with Maury, the number one best-selling memoir of all time, The Little Liar is his latest book, Haiti, on and on and on. Tell us about this. Does he ever sleep?
That's a good question. I ask him that very question as well. He has a lot of irons in the fire, as I like to say. So all in a good way, though. All in a good way. But no, it's been a pleasure working for Mitch and with Mitch. As you said, he is one of the busiest people on earth, but still finds the time to take care of charity. I mean, you mentioned Haiti just briefly. What a tough situation, although just yesterday they finally settled on a new leadership council there and picked a new prime minister, so hopefully we're on a better road. But since I've been here at Say Detroit, Mitch has never missed one single trip to Haiti, no matter
each
the...
Each month. 4 to 5 days.
Yes, absolutely. At least.
Recently, at least.
At least, yeah. Well, a little longer than we planned recently, it's funny. I was sitting with Mitch a few weeks ago, and I said, people ask me all the time, what's it like working with Mitch? And I said, there's two things I like to say is he's never said no to anything I've ever asked him to do. And here's a guy that puts his money where his mouth is. Lots of people talk in the community, even act a little, but they also, you know, he has skin in the game. And so it's been a pleasure. I started in the heart of COVID. In fact, I accepted the job the week that they officially shut schools down and everything, March of 2020. But the reason I took the job is after sitting with Mitch and hearing his vision for the organization and his hopes to take what we've built and have it live on forever, long after he and I are gone, that really inspired me to want to be a part of something like that to build something that would be sustainable and help people and be here for a long time. And that really got me on board.
His first big book, Tuesdays with Maury, has sold over 20 million copies and has been translated into 45 languages. Okay, Johnny Carson had this guy, Ed McMahon, his sidekick,
yes,
right? Joey Bishop had Regis Philbin.
Yes.
And Mitch has this guy, Rosie.
Rosie.
Some people think Rosie is a lady, okay? Mark Rosenthal. Tell us about Rosie.
Rosie. Oh, gosh. Well, it was a destined match made to happen. Rosie and I, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud for people that know Rosie too well, but he and I are two peas in a pod, so we couldn't get along any better. I got to give credit to Rosie, you know, and I tell Mitch all the time, what they built before I came on board was incredible. They didn't have the experience in starting a nonprofit or how to run a nonprofit, yet here they did. They set up multiple entities, raised funds to do wonderful work in our community, to be honest, without really knowing fully what they were doing on it. And so when I came on board and had a chance to really assess the organization, I said, you guys, what you've done is incredible. You know, you don't necessarily need me. I mean, you've done wonderful work. However, if you truly want to get to where we talked about getting to when I first came on board, which was a sustainable organization to live into the future, I have a lot of ideas and there's a lot we can do. But those guys, Mitch and Rosie, deserve so much credit for building the base of Say Detroit and what it is now. Rosie, I affectionately call the elephant hunter. He has vision and he has ideas and he can see things where other people can't see them, and then he gets them done. For Mitch, he's probably, you know, the get her done guy. Mitch has amazing ideas and he comes to us now and we got to figure out how to execute them and get them done. And that's really where Rosie makes his bread and butter. He's just an incredible.
And I think the two of them met in high school.
They go way
back.
Together. Absolutely. They were in a band together. And that goes for our CFO as well. You know, one of Mitch's childhood friends. And, you know, I love it because my philosophy is, as I've moved on in life, keep the good ones close to you. And I think Mitch very much feels the same way. And when you have great friends and who are great workers and hard workers and understand your vision, if you keep them close, we can all help it grow together. And so it's been a great
marriage.
Speaking
of keeping the good ones together.
Yes.
Very few people know about Janine album. Tell us about Mitch's better half.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would say you joked about me being the boss, but Janine is the true boss. They are such a wonderful partnership together, Janine and Mitch. And Janine has the same passion as Mitch for helping children and helping the community. And, you know, I would say the same goes for Janine. She is a happy yes anytime you need something done. And, she is a caring and compassionate person that doesn't like no for an answer. So, you know, it's wonderful, wonderful people to be around that share the same vision as you and the drive to get things done. So, she's just a wonderful leader.
Okay, say Detroit 2008 started the Detroit Family Health Clinic. Tawani Nettles Robinson, tell us what that does.
The Safe Family Health Clinic is an incredible place. We're located in Highland Park, just off of Woodward Avenue. We are a completely free health clinic. We were for many years. We just started taking health insurance, if for no other reason than it helps us to treatment plan our patients and it helps us to schedule the next steps when we meet with new clients. But we are a free clinic in Detroit. We all types of services there for adult care. We don't have children care, although we do have two programs there. One is called the First Year, where we work with new moms about safe habits with babies. We're able to provide some materials and products to those new moms as well. And we have another program called Wellness Wednesdays that's focused on our older female population and issues that are very specific to them. And they get together once a month in a group and have a guest speaker. And so we really work hard in the community of Highland Park. They have adopted us. We have wonderful leadership in Highland Park, and they really appreciate what we do. do there and the services that we provide. And so it's been a wonderful marriage as well, and a great relationship. And Tawana, you mentioned Tawana, our leader there. She is fantastic. She works with Trinity Health. We couldn't do any of this without Trinity Health. They're our partners there. And beside the clinic we run, they have four other clinics in Detroit, which are also free in most cases to the
population. Ben Carter, COO of Trinity, is on the Save Detroit board.
Absolutely. Ben is a tremendous leader, a wonderful board member, has a lot of great ideas for us, and we value that relationship. In fact, we just re-upped another 5 years with Trinity at our health clinic. So we are not going anywhere, and we will be here to serve the community.
All right, let's go back to 2015. We had a bunch of abandoned playgrounds. One was the former Lipte Center on Van Dyke, south of 7 Mile. What's happened?
Well, unfortunately, in Detroit, during those tough years we talked about before, 07, 08, 09, they had to close all the recreation centers. And it was just a budget thing, and it was just unfortunate because they were such an important part of the community. Mayor Duggan was in office, and again, Mitch is always thinking and always looking at what problems are in our community and how can we address them as quickly as possible. And one of those problems was not having these rec centers around our community. And so Mitch met with Mayor Duggan, and they toured, I don't want to exaggerate, but I don't think I am, probably 40 properties around the city of Detroit. And they found this one, Lipke Park, and Lipke Park was an old rec center that had been closed, but it was in the middle of a neighborhood and just a tremendous community surrounding it. The Osborne neighborhood on the east side of Detroit at 7 Mile and Van Dyke, just great, great families that are in that community. And I think at first Mayor Duggan said, you know, we need to get this rec center open and get this thing going again. And Mitch said, that sounds great, but we're going to do even more than that. We're going to make it a community hub, and we're going to make it around education. And when you get your education done, then you can use the rec center. And so that was really the launch of the Save Detroit Play Center. Fast forward to today, we just 2 weeks ago had the grand opening of the new Kelly and Matthew Stafford and Friends Annex. The Staffords, on their way out of town, gave us the initial gift to kind of build a new wing with dedicated space, dedicated classrooms, vocational training spaces, a theater, and we just had the grand opening the other day. So this summer, we will have over 200 kids a day at our summer camp. And this fall, when we come back, it will be the same. And it is 100% free for anyone who wants to attend there. So we have a registration process.
If I recall right, when the Staffords, when Matt and Kelly were leaving to go to L.A., I think they gave $10,000 to Mitch on the way out.
Yeah, a little bit more, a little bit more. So
just a few more zeros.
Just a few more zeros on there. So, yes, as I like to call Rosie, the elephant hunter, Rosie had drawn up some drawings of what a new building could look like on our campus. And the Staffords were in one day doing one of the many, many wonderful things they've done in this community with no cameras rolling. Most of what they do is without attention and without media, which just goes to show you what truly special people they are. But they were there doing a backpack giveaway right after COVID had hit, and they had a laptop in every backpack. We gave 100 backpacks away to kids from the center who were stuck home at the moment. And Rosie sticks a piece of paper in front of Kelly that day and says, we want to build a new building. And we all kind of laughed about it. Fast forward a few months, and the trade has been announced, and the Staffords are leaving town. Mitch and Rosie asked if we could just jump on a quick call with them real quick and just talk to them about their future plans. And while we were on that call, we mentioned the idea of opening a new center to go along with the beautiful recreation facility that we had. And the Staffords thought about it. We hung up the phone. It didn't take more than 30 minutes, and they called back and said, we want to give you the first $1 million gift toward that building. If you can imagine such a thing, on their way out of town, they made a gift to be a lasting commitment to this community. And so
I think they had given
incredible.
Mitch $1 million in different
correct
payments before.
Exactly. So early on in the process, and when we first took over the facility, it had fallen into disrepair in the years that it had sat empty. And so, yes, they helped us out in the beginning, and they made a very significant donation that helped us build the football field there, which we use to this day.
200 kids a day in the summer. Eric Reed runs that program. When we come back, we're going to ask about something called Better Together. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
J. Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Rick Kelly. Since 2020, he's been the executive director of Say Detroit, Super All Year Detroit. All right, 2020, Mitch Albom and a guy named Daryl Woods, who has been one of the 10 best guests, Rick, we've ever had on the show in 19 years. Start Better Together. Tell us about Daryl Woods and Better Together.
Well, I think the whole story of Better Together is a wonderful example of Say Detroit and seeing a challenge or a problem in our community and jumping on it immediately and saying, what can we do to make this better? What can we do to help this problem? And Better Together is a great example of that. And in a nutshell, Better Together is we bring youths from the city of Detroit, sometimes at-risk youth, sometimes just kids from school, and we bring them together with police officers. Except the one trick is the police officers are in plain clothes, and usually the kids we're bringing together with the police have no idea that they're police officers. And so we break bread together, because Mitch has always said, families always solve things over the dinner table. And so we break bread together, and at the end of the dinner, it's when it is revealed that the kids have been eating with officers this whole time. And that's really what I like to say, Jack, when the magic happens. That's because most of these young people have never had a positive interaction with law enforcement. And here, after cooking together and grilling together and eating together and getting to know each other, they say, well, wait a minute, you're nice. And you look like me, and we're from the same community, and we're from the same neighborhood, even the same street in some cases, except you're a cop. How did that happen? And that's where the police are able to tell their stories of, you're right, I did grow up in your neighborhood, and I saw an opportunity to make a difference and do something different and help. And Daryl Woods leads this program, and you couldn't have said it better. I don't think I've met anyone with more compassion, more energy, more of a caring soul than Daryl. Daryl, as you've had on the show, and if for the listeners that don't know, spent 29 years incarcerated for a crime that he did not commit. He got his sentence overturned only to be kept in jail. He got it overturned again only to be kept in jail by the prosecutor. And then he finally had his sentence commuted by Governor Snyder and has done nothing but positive work in our community since. And whether that's sitting on boards all over our community, police boards, prison reform boards, but also just being in the community and being a leader. He has started a Day of Peace in Detroit Public Schools, which is just an incredible thing that he's taken on. And it's been a real pleasure to work with Daryl and have him help launch this program. But just to say, this was the summer of George Floyd and the unrest with police. And, you know, Mitch in his vision said, we can't have this. We need police. We all know we need police. We have to turn down the temperature here, and we have to do something to try to improve these relationships. And Better Together was launched.
You want to learn more about all these entities, www.saydetroit.org. Saydetroit.org. And Mitch and Daryl call it Willin, Grillin, and Healin.
And Healin, yeah.
And the Aronson family provides the food and
absolutely
the barbecue trucks.
The Aronsons have been incredible. I was lucky enough to meet Jack. My first ever Better Together. Jack was battling, as we know, and Jack showed up there. This was the heart of COVID, and Jack was out there grilling in a freezing cold day. Our first time we ever did this, and Annette and the whole family are just wonderful people in our community. So.
MI Cycle.
Yes.
Chuck Nagy.
Yet again, This is where I started to learn that I'm going to have to buckle up here to keep up with Mitch and his ideas. So my cycle, again, we were in the community. We were meeting with some people that work with the unhoused community. And we started to learn, and you've seen around Detroit, all the bike lanes they've put in, that a lot of our citizens use bicycles to get around. Not everybody has that car. Not everybody has that mode of transportation. And Mitch said, hey, let's put two and two together. Almost everybody I know has a bike sitting in their garage that is not being used. If we could only get our hands on all those bikes and get them cleaned up, we could do something and make an impact in this community. And that's exactly what we did. And Chuck Nagy runs that for us. I couldn't think of a better person to do that. Chuck was working in Detroit in a bicycle shop, but he has such a passion for getting bikes into the hands of kids and adults that need them. And so we are housed at Marygrove College. We got to thank the folks at Marygrove for giving us a space to set up. We had our first few hundred bikes donated. We've actually expanded the program. Now we get new bikes as well that we custom build in our shop. Chuck employs multiple formerly homeless veterans on his staff who now are housed and have a steady place of employment. And so it's just a great program. Chuck on the side is also a photographer, and he now teaches photography courses at our Say Play After School programs as well. So we really are a big family at Say Detroit. All of our charities overlap, and we help each other where we can.
A listener says, I want to become part of this family. Rick, what can I do?
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the bigger arms of our charity that we didn't get into today is A Time to Help. Every month, we do a charity project around this community. In fact, just last Saturday, I was out at Mother Beatty's Kitchen. Antoine, who's the grandson of Mother Beatty, who still runs the food pantry there, and they do after-school programs. We had a team of 20 people out there that were cleaning up the yard for the summer, doing some spring cleaning, getting them ready for their after-school daycare program, so they have a place for the kids to be safe and practice. So every month we have a Time to Help program. You can find all those on our websites. Some of them occur at our own charities, and some are at our partner charities in the community. Of course, we always take donations. We love it. We can't do what we do. As I mentioned, our health clinic's free. Our after-school programs are free. We give away free bikes. Our barbecues are free. We don't charge anybody for anything in what we do in our community. So we always need donations. Those are very helpful. You can find that information, as you said, at saydetroit.org. Those are the best two ways I can think of to help.
Well, the best way is to meet Rick Kelly. When the guy gets a little enthusiasm, he's going to be pretty effective. So, Rick, fabulous.
Thank you so much, Jack. I just want to thank you again. Again, I've listened to many of your shows. I've known you for a long time, even before my days at Say Detroit. I appreciate our friendship. I appreciate you thinking me. I don't feel worthy of this opportunity here, but anything I can do to help spread the word about Say Detroit and the good work we do in this community, much appreciated, and thank you for your time and all your efforts as well. So
please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spot.
Believe in yourself.